Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people and said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to your Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day it tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than just fine gold, sweeter are than honey in the combs.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can protect one's own defenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas more respectable members need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leaderships, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. All right, let's start by pulling out our smartphones and do a little Slido thing here. I want you to just take a moment and think about where you see Jesus. Are there places or people or situations where Christ is apparent to you? Now, for word clouds, it's better to use one or two words. That rug's pretty welcoming, isn't it? Better to use one or two words. And it's easier on this to use your own smart device if you want. So if you want to scan the QR code, you can do that. For those of you who are here in the Centrum, remember that the nearest screen is often behind you. If you're using your browser, you can put in Slido, Slido.com, and then where it asks for the code, put 448551. And while you're responding to the question, I want to take a moment and thank you. Thank you to everyone who wears your name tag when you are in worship here at St. Andrew's. Wearing a name tag is important because it helps all of us connect names and faces. It's helpful for pastors who on a bad day sometimes have a rough time remembering the names of people that they see on a regular basis. It's helpful for worship leaders and hospitality ministers who sometimes don't always know everybody. And during the time of our being on Zoom only for worship, people really liked having those names at the bottom of the square so that you could associate names and faces. And finally, wearing a name tag, as much help as it is for those of us who are part of the community, I can't tell you how many times I'm in a conversation with people and they said, well, you know, that person who sits over there, I don't know their name. It can also be helpful for people who are new to the community. And to each of you who wear your masks when at St. Andrew's, thank you. Over the past month, I've heard medical professionals and others note how many participate by wearing a mask. And I am perfectly and personally grateful for that truth. Now a story. When I was a sacristan at seminary, which is kind of a highfalutin way of talking about being part of the altar guild at seminary, one of my responsibilities was to support the planning and celebration of worship that was the installation of a new president for the seminary. It was one of those services where, well, there were a lot of dignitaries, and there were a lot of faculty, and there were a lot of different kinds of ministers for the service. And so the procession into that service was a very long procession. And over my career, I have been tapped on multiple occasions for lining up those kinds of processions. And let me tell you, pastors don't listen very well either. All right? But one of the things that we did not talk about in the planning process was what was going to happen at the end of the service. What would happen as all of those people in that long procession came out at the end of the service? Where do they go? And what do they do? And I was standing at the back as this long line of people were coming toward me, and I had to make decisions. And I decided that the people leading the processions, that would be the person bearing the cross and the person who is carrying, there were two people carrying torches, big candles, and then there was somebody carrying the lectionary. And I decided those four at least can just go on through, go downstairs, start to take their vestments off and get out of the way. And then I had the faculty and all the dignitaries just kind of line up along the back wall of the worship space. Well, that was my plan. After worship happened, one of my classmates came up to me and talked about how disconcerting it was for her to have the cross disappear at that time. For her, at least in the context of worship, in that moment in worship, the cross was Christ present in the community. That's where she located Christ. You see, from that moment, I started to pay attention to where people locate Christ. For some, it's the cross. For some, it's the table. For some, it's the communion elements. For some, it's the lectern, or the Bible on the lectern, or the lectionary book on the lectern. For some of us, we locate Christ in the community who have gathered, whether we're in the room or we're on Zoom. And so in the midst of this, we are the body of Christ. And so as we look at the word cloud, check out all the different places, all the people where Christ is located. Now, as the church hears this continuing, semi-continuous reading of Paul's letter to the congregation in Corinth, it's sometimes important to go back and remember some of what happened before this. So this is going to be a really light, high-level view of what's happened over the past, like, six chapters. First of all, Paul calls the Christian community to pay attention to how they use their physical bodies. He indeed asks them to treat their bodies as holy and shun all kinds of ways that would defile them. He also then, from there, talks about the ethical implications of being united with Christ as they play out in our primary relationships. Then he moves on to talk about the worship of idols and consuming food that has been sacrificed to idols. And that's the place where Paul invokes the body of Christ language for the first time. Shortly after that starts the part of the letter that we've been reading starting last week. It's a bit of a scolding. And so it's out of this that we heard last week, a call to pay attention to the spiritual gifts. Gifts that are distributed individually as the Spirit desires. And in this scolding, though, before what we heard last week, Paul starts to talk about when the body of Christ, when the community of Christ gathers and they share Scripture, they share the stories, and then they celebrate the meal. And you see, the problem was that those who could get off work early enough to come would come and they'd have worship and then they'd eat all the communion food. And the poor people who had to work late would come and there was nothing for them. Paul argued that this was not discerning the body of Christ. Now, over the centuries, what many churches have done is they have taken that and said that not discerning the body of Christ was actually in not discerning that the communion elements are the body of Christ. And so Paul's argument and scolding that was about inclusion of the greatest number of people in the community of faith then was used to actually exclude people from being a part of the community of faith. Exclusion from the Lord's table. So where am I headed with this? And am I ever going to get to today's reading? The answer is in the question of where this congregation discerns the body of Christ. Now, in various text studies, as we read this letter that invokes all of these different body parts on his invocation, Paul's invocation of the eyes and ears and feet and head and all of that, there's a way in which sometimes Paul can be misheard. And quite frankly, as I have lived in the life of the church, I am deeply aware of ways in which the church can be a substantially ableist community. Which is to say, the people who have difficulty hearing, or difficulty seeing, or difficulty with mobility, people who have have cognitive difficulties or mental health difficulties or any of those kinds of things, those aren't the folks that we center. We tend to center the people who come apparently complete. And so with this rampant ableism, what happens is we go against Paul's point, and that is that diversity is good and necessary to the health and well-being of the body of Christ. Difference is not bad, but actually is good. And Paul's point is that the ones who are too easily overlooked are precisely the ones to be included. In this sense, the body of Christ is not complete when anyone is excluded. Indeed, even if a member self-excludes, the body of Christ is not complete. The church is complete when all are present, when all bring their gifts, when all contribute what they have. And when I'm speaking of present, I'm speaking of those who gather here in the Centrum, but also who gather on Zoom. However, we know that metaphors break down. And this metaphor should not be read to suggest that only those who are physically, mentally, spiritually whole and complete need show up. Like discerning the body of Christ with respect to Holy Communion, if such a perception that encourages exclusion is allowed to stand, the church, the body of Christ, has failed. No, today and every day we need Christ and everyone else with their gifts, with their strengths, with their weaknesses and challenges. And so as we look at the word cloud, it is a wonderful and diverse image of how this congregation discerns the body of Christ and where we find Christ in nature, in friends, in service, in community, in communion, Holy Communion, in the poor of spirit, in reaching out to others, in family, in scripture, in speaking truth, in the marginalized communities, and so many other areas, including those ministries that we have, ministries of ministry in the jails and loaves and fishes and all of those kinds of things that we do for the sake of others as a community. As we ponder this word cloud, let us ask the question, who is missing?
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's SAINT, AndrewsLutheran.org. Have a glorious week.